Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Naaman had to humble himself. And that's what I was referring to a little earlier as when I mentioned what would be taking place inside of him. Not just the water washing over his body, but what else was going on inside, in his head, in his heart, each time he dipped. Each dip required effort. But not just physical effort. Each dip required humility, an act of humility. Each dip, the first dip, just getting to that water. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to go into it. Just getting there required humility. He had to exercise humility again to go ahead and get in the water. He had to exercise humility again to dip the first time. He had to continue exercising humility to stay in that water and dip a second time. The whole time all of this is taking place, he is exercising humility, literally exercising his spirit to be humble. He's still in that water, exercising his spirit to be humble as he dips the third time. And the fourth time, he's still exercising humility as he remains in that water that initially he didn't even want to get into. But he's staying in it because that's what he was directed to do. And the humility is still flowing as he dips the fourth time and has that water flowing over his body while humility is beginning to rise and flow in his spirit. And he remains in that water as he comes up out of it the fourth time. And he's still in that water and knowing that his attendants are watching him as he does this. They're watching him obey. In humble obedience, he goes down the fifth time. The water still flowing, humility still flowing. The water still flowing without, humility still flowing within. He comes up the fifth time. He repeats this until he has followed the directions to the letter, having dipped the seventh time. By the time he has gone down and come back up the seventh time, not only is God ready to heal his body, but Naaman is ready to have his soul changed too. Naaman left his country as a worshiper of false gods. He returned to his country as a worshiper of the one true living God. I'm curious. If we make careful analysis, if we take careful inventory, if we make a thorough assessment, whether we are people who are united with Christ already or thinking about it, thinking about becoming one with Christ, thinking about joining with him, is there anything that the Lord requires of us? Is there anything specific that he is directing us to do in order to receive from him what we're asking for, in order to receive from him what we're needing? Naaman wanted to be healed of leprosy. You could say that he needed to be healed of leprosy. But even more importantly, he needed to be freed from sin. He needed to be saved. And God knew that. He knows our needs better than we know our needs, the same way he knew Naaman's needs better than Naaman knew his own needs. What is God directing you to do that will put you in position to either obey or disobey, so that you disobey and forfeit whatever it is that God is willing to give you, or you obey and receive whatever it is that God is willing to give to you? Are you asking for one thing and God saying, well, no, I won't give that to you, but I'll give you something else that I want you to have? Are you asking for one thing and God is saying, well, you know, I will give that to you and this after you do that? Are we willing to learn a lesson from Naaman about God's power? It is a power that belongs to God, and he exercises it whenever he wants, however he wants. He's the one who's sovereign. He's the one who decides how he uses his power, when he uses it. In fact, if he's not going to release it to this person or that person, that's God's decision. Are we willing, even if we start out raging, I don't want to do that? You know, sometimes we miss the boat because we truly don't know what God is trying to get us to do. And in those cases, we need to just practice becoming better listeners, so that as God is trying to convey something to us, we pick up on it. But there are other times when we know exactly what God is commanding us to do, and we refuse to do it. And God is often saying, hey, no problem. You refuse to do what I'm directing you to do. I refuse what you're asking me to do. His power is available, but he won't let us access it just because. There are times when he has requirements, and we just need to ask, are we going to exercise the wisdom that it takes to humble ourselves and say, okay, even if we start out, as I mentioned a little earlier, raging, I don't want to do that, but we finally calm ourselves down, or someone else calms us down, and we finally get it, and we finally say, okay, I'll do that. And we go ahead and do it.